Hi guys, this is Ryan Light with BeatAnxiety.me, your host, where we will be going over the struggles of anxiety and learning how to heal the underlying causes.
How's it going? So today's topic and today's subject is going to be around I got my little couch thrown on. I thought I'd sit here on my couch and just have a little chat with you guys on the difference between coping and healing. And I think there's a distinct difference between the two. And I think a lot of times what happens to us when we go to counseling or go to get help, a lot of times what happens to us is we are going there and we're learning how to cope rather than really learning how to heal, because healing hurts. And I think a lot of times what we do a lot of times is we really are coping rather than healing. And so I think it's an important subject to go through to have you have a better understanding of what the difference is and how do you know if you're doing one of the two, right? How do you know if you're healing? How do you know if you're coping? Because coping has a short-term fix, but long-term devastation. And what do I mean by that is a lot of times what happens is we get ourselves faked out thinking that we're doing better because we learn how to cope, right? And so when we learn how to cope, we tend to fake ourselves out again, thinking that we're doing okay, thinking that we're over this, thinking that we've healed, right? And then it comes back to us in a flurry, right? We get triggered or something happens and we just get overwhelmed, because really what we've done is we've learned how to cope and not learn how to heal. And so I'm going to explain the difference between the two and how you know if you're healing and how you know if you're coping. Let me know if my music's too loud. I'm going old school NF today, so. Let me know if my music's too loud. Oh Lord, is there questions about my credentials already? Oh man, you guys kill me, man, with the credentials. Ay. You guys absolutely kill me. You guys kill me about my credentials. Anyway, okay. So my Instagram people ask me about my credentials all the time. So what's the difference between the two? So first of all, what is coping mechanisms? What is coping? Coping is when you have those feelings and those thoughts that bombard you, right? And you don't like those thoughts and you don't like those feelings. So you grasp for things, right, to take those feelings and those thoughts away, right? And so what you do is you tend to feel anxious or you feel depressed or you feel hurt or you feel angry or you feel agitated or you feel irritated or you feel jealousy or you feel envy or you feel guilt or you feel shame. You feel all those feelings and then or thoughts that come at you, right? The bombardment of thoughts come at you. And all those thoughts and feelings, what they do is we don't like them. And since we don't like them, what we do is we tend to now go grasp for things to alleviate, right? Or distract us or run from or sweep under the covers or not deal with these thoughts and these feelings. So we tend to go grasp for things to hide from, again, distract from, run from these feelings and these thoughts of ours, right? And so that's the onslaught of things that happen to us, right? And it's really baked mostly in feeling. The feelings is what we're scared of, not really the thoughts. It's really the feelings. We don't like the feelings that we have. And so we start grasping for these things in our life to help us distract ourselves or run from these situations. And so what do we do from a coping perspective, right? What's a sign of coping? Coping is when you tend to go to, you pop a pill, you're having a panic attack, so you pop a pill. You pop a Xanax, you pop a Klonopin, you pop a Quaalude, you pop, right? That's you pop a pill because you're having a panic attack. You smoke pot because you think smoking pot's going to calm you down, so you try to fake yourself out by numbing yourself with pot, right? So you smoke pot or you do a drug to get yourself away from that feeling, right? So we have the medication that we drop, we have the drugs that we drop. You drink a six pack, you drink a glass of wine turns into a bottle, so now you're drinking alcohol. So you use alcohol to distract yourself and run from those types of feelings. Or you use relationships, right? You tend to grasp and control and try to manipulate and try to hoard, right, relationships in your life because you think relationships are going to fix you, right? So you go to relationships to try to resolve these feelings that you have. You work your ass off, right? You go to work as your safe haven, so you work, and you become a workaholic, thinking that that will fix you, right? Right. So you tend to go to work to cope, right? So we have popping pills, we have smoking pot, we have doing drugs, we have alcohol, we have relationships, we have work. Or you tend to go to food because food, you think food is going to fix you because people that use food to cope because either they feel numb and they want to feel something, right? Or they feel so much that they don't want to feel anything but the sensations of fullness. And so they think food, that we have an unhealthy relationship with food. So we use food to cope, right? So we use that as a coping mechanism. Food won't work. Let's run to sex. So sex is going to fix us, right? So now we feel numb, or we feel an overwhelming sensation. So now let's use sex to cope. And so we cover up our what sex is really about, which is intimacy and love. We use it as a facet of release. Right, so we use it in an unhealthy way, and we use it to feel something because we're so numb, or we feel it, or we use it to release, thinking that is going to fix us and hide those feelings and those emotions that we have. So, or we use even healthy coping mechanisms. Right, we use healthy coping mechanisms like working out. So we obsess about working out. So then we spend all our time in the gym. We spend all our time dieting because we think a number is going to fix us. If we just hit that number, if we just can lift that weight, if we just can do this, if we just can do that. So even the healthy coping mechanisms become unhealthy coping mechanisms. So we use dieting, or we use the gym as an outlet, which becomes obsessive as a coping mechanism. What else do we use? We use retail therapy, right? So then we feel as though if we have that new gadget, that new iPhone, that new Google phone, that new Samsung phone, that new computer, that new this, that new sneakers, those new shoes, that new purse, those new earrings, the new outfit, the new this, the new that. So we use retail therapy as a mechanism to hide those feelings and run from those feelings and try to escape from those feelings. Right? Or, right, we use counseling or therapy as a ways to talk about our feelings to make us feel good about ourselves, right? As a way to cope, right? So we talk about our feelings constantly. We're stuck in our story, and we use that as a coping mechanism to learn how to cope. When we use these coping mechanisms, these are signs of coping mechanisms. And if you use these things to cope with, what coping mechanisms do is coping mechanisms actually make those feelings that you struggle with even worse. Because we think that if we just do this, these things will go away. That hurt will go away. That emotional pain will go away. Those feelings of insecurities will go away. That self-worth anxiety will go away. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't go away. What it does is it makes those feelings and it makes those things in which we struggle with feel even worse. So that's what coping mechanisms do. And again, I want to stress the fact that a lot of us think that we're doing the right thing, right? Let me give you a concrete example of this. I'm a runner. I love to run. I'm injured right now, so I haven't ran in about 6 months. And running became a very therapeutic thing for me, right? Running became very therapeutic for me. Somewhat of an addiction, to be honest with you. I used it as a way to not deal with myself, right, and justify not dealing with myself with running. I'd run 2-3 hours sometimes, literally run 2 to 3 hours, not really dealing with myself, not really having a physical outlet, but not an emotional outlet, right? It was a really good physical outlet for me. It tired me. It made me feel tired, so it calmed me down from a tired perspective. But it really didn't deal with my emotions. It wasn't an emotional outlet. It was a physical outlet. And I was faking myself out, thinking that, oh, if I just go run, I'll be good to go, right? My emotions will be good. And I get it, guys. Like, having a physical outlet, listen to what I'm... Hear what I'm saying. Don't listen to what I'm not saying, right? I'm not saying that not working out and not having this physical outlet is not good for us. It's very good for us. But when it becomes a borderline addiction to hide from those emotional issues that we struggle with, that's when the physical outlets become ineffective. And so what we need to do is we need to understand that there is a physical aspect to this. There is an emotional aspect to our hurt. And there is a spiritual aspect to us. And so when we use these outlets or these coping mechanisms to fake ourselves out, thinking that we're actually moving ahead in life, we're actually healing, it's a lie. And it keeps us stuck. And it makes us more addicted to those unhealthy coping mechanisms. So those are coping mechanisms, right? And I think that you need to evaluate yourself on if you are doing, if you're learning to cope and not learning to heal. Now, what's healing? What's the difference between the two, right? Because there is aspects of healthy coping while you're healing, okay? So while you're healing, you should tend to go to learning how to healthy cope through your healing process, because healing hurts, right? First indication that you're healing, right? The first indication that you're healing is you are hurting, right? In the right way. You're hurting in the right way, meaning that you are hurting through, you're going through the pain, right? Of confronting yourselves with yourself, right? You're confronting yourself with your pain. And you're sitting with it. So the first facet of this, right, is to allow yourself to sit with your pain. That's the first indication that you're healing, that you are sitting and feeling those uncomfortable feelings and allowing your thoughts just to be there. That's the first indication. You are acknowledging, right? You're acknowledging the pain. You're acknowledging the inner child. You're acknowledging that self of you that's hurting, right? That's the first step to healing, is you're acknowledging. Acknowledgement, right? Acknowledgement starts the process. It's the beginning process. Everybody's like, what do I begin? What do I start? How do I begin? How do I start? How do I begin? How do I start? And you start with just validating. And validating, you start with acknowledgement, and acknowledgement will lead you into, right? It will gradually start leading you into validation. Now, what's validation? Validation is when you allow yourself to just sit Right? Just sit with the feelings and the thoughts. Right? So we allow the feelings and the thoughts to come at us, right? And we just sit with those feelings and those thoughts. We don't try to change them. We don't try to control them. We don't try to distract ourselves. We don't try to run from them. We don't try to hide from them. We just simply sit with the feelings, right? That's part of the validation piece. That, my friends, is one of the hardest things you'll ever do. If you can just sit with those uncomfortable feelings and just sit with those overwhelming sensations, because the fact of the matter is, feelings aren't facts. Feelings aren't facts. And when you get to understand that feelings aren't facts and thoughts typically lie to us, when you start to change the way you think, right? A lot of us have thought bombardment and sensation overwhelmment because of the way we think. Because the fact of the matter is we can't control our thoughts. We can't control the thoughts that come at us, right? The thoughts that are constantly coming at us, we can't control them, but we can control the way we think about those thoughts, right? And as we think about those thoughts, that will then thereby allow us to sit with those uncomfortable feelings and those uncomfortable sensations, right? It's critical that you validate. Sometimes all our pain needs is our validation. Right, allow us to validate our pain by just sitting with our pain. Now, the chasm between the acknowledgement and the validation, right, is you're leading into, right, you're allowing yourself to lead into from validation into a level of acceptance, right? And the chasm between acknowledgement and acceptance is huge. I mean, it's gigantic. It's people have such a difficult time getting from acknowledge, because they think, oh, I'm acknowledging my pain. Oh, I'm dealing. Oh, I'm acknowledging it. I'm going to counseling. I'm going to therapy. I'm acknowledging my pain. I'm acknowledging what's going on, but they never come to a level of acceptance. Why do they never come to a level of acceptance? They never come to a level of acceptance because they never go through a discovery process. Right? A discovery process that allows them to come to a level of acceptance. What's the discovery process? The discovery process is when you start to understand that the manifestations that we struggle with, right? The anxieties, the depressions, the diagnosis, the borderline personality disorders, the bipolar, the manic depressive, all of the things that we struggle with from a manifestation perspective is not our problems. It's not our problems. Your anxiety attack is not your problem. Your panic attack is not your problem. Your diagnosis is not, as a matter of fact, your diagnosis probably is your problem because you allow it to define you. But these things, these manifestations are not the problems. They come and they're from, and they come from a deeper seated perspective, the deeper seated hurts. And when you start dealing with and working through those deeper seated hurts, the manifestations start to lift, right? The problem with most of us is we don't want to deal with and work through those deeper seated hurts. Why? How come we don't want to do that? We don't want to do that because it hurts, right? We don't want to do it because it hurts. It sucks. You know, when you're working through traumas and you're working through divorce, and you're working through your parents' divorce, you're working through your own divorce, you're working through people passing away, you're working through grief, you're working through guilt, you're working through shame, you're working through loneliness, you're working through neglect, you're working through abandonment, you're working through people pleasing, you're working through self-worth anxiety, you're working through all of these deeper seated feelings and emotions. As you're working through these deeper seated feelings and emotions, that stuff flipping hurts. And so people don't want to face that hurt and deal with it. So they think, oh, let me acknowledge it. Let me acknowledge it. Let me acknowledge it. Let me go cope. Let me go cope. Let me go cope. Let me go cope. And these coping mechanisms only make it worse. So the chasm between acknowledgement and acceptance is it's gigantic, and most people won't do it. That's the heart of the issue. That's the fact of the matter, and unfortunately, that's the truth. But when you do work through those deeper seated emotions, and most of us don't even know what they are. Most of us know the behaviors that we have. Most of us know the sensations that we struggle with, but we don't know the deeper seated issues. And since we don't know the deeper seated issues, we don't know really how to go through them and work through them appropriately. When we work through those deeper seated emotions and we work through those deeper seated feelings, that will then there cause us and allow us to then thereby go to another level of healing, which is embracing. Right? When you learn to embrace these pains in our life, and you learn to embrace these feelings and these sensations in our life, and embrace those things in which causes those feelings, that brings you to a level of embracing. And when you start to embrace these things in our life, that is when you come to a level of healing. Right? When you come to a level of healing, then you start to change your perspective of your traumas. You start to expect your you start to change your perspective of these feelings and the emotions that you struggle with, and as you start to change your perspective of these feelings and the emotions that you struggle with, the emotions and the feelings start to dissipate. They start to go away. They start to lose their suffocating. They start to lose their grip on us, right? As you start to walk through and start to deal with and work through that process. So it goes from acknowledgement through validation to a level of acceptance, right? Through a discovery, you go through a discovery to a level of acceptance. That acceptance allows you then thereby to embrace these feelings and these emotions. And it's critical that you don't fake yourself out thinking that. And this is why people go to therapy for years and years and years and years, right? That's why they're stuck in therapy and counseling for countless amount of years. How do I know this? Because I was that. That's what I did, right? I was stuck in this cycle forever, right? This anxiety, and I didn't quite understand the chasm between the acknowledgement and the acceptance. I thought that if I was acknowledging something, right, I was accepting it. And that's a false reality. And that false reality will always keep you stuck. It will always keep you in this rut of trying to get yourself out from under these feelings and these emotions. Does that make sense? That was a kind of a 20, kind of a, yeah. It was kind of a 20 minute, 30 minute diatribe of the difference between the two. And I think a lot of times, people don't like the truth, right? And so they call me out for why do I bully people, and why am I bullying people like I saw in this one? I'm not bullying anybody. I'm telling you the flippant truth. And if the truth bothers you, then that's something that you probably need to look at. Because the truth often hurts. And that's just the fact of the matter. You want to get yourself out from feeling this pain? You got to face the truth. There's truth in the reality of faking ourselves out, thinking that we're doing something that we're not doing. You don't like it? Don't follow me. Right? You don't like that truth? You don't like my truths? That's okay. Don't follow me. Right? You think I'm bullshitting and I'm lying? Continue in your pain, and don't unfollow me. That's quite simple. But I know the fact of the matter is, I've seen too many people heal. I've seen too many people get themselves out from under the hurt, when they face the reality of the situation and they're honest with themselves and they start to change. And they start to go through that process, right, of acknowledgement, go through a discovery to a level of acceptance to embracing. All right, so what kind of questions do you have about my credentials? seems like credentials is a hot topic on I thank you for that, Jay Flowers. I appreciate it. What does acceptance look like? Acceptance looks like, how do you find a qualified therapist? I'm probably the wrong person to ask about therapy, to be honest with you. I'm not a there God, I'm not going to get into it. You can go to I think Psychology Today or therapist.com or something like that. I'm not the best person to talk about therapy, talk about therapists. I'm not against therapists, guys. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against therapists. I'm against bad therapists. That's what I'm against. And unfortunately, I saw about 30 of them. So I'm not against them. I'm just against bad ones. How do you get to a level of acceptance? What is acceptance? Acceptance looks like when you are, when you start to change your perspective of your pain, and you start to understand that that your hurt, no matter how drastic it might have been, has a meaning, right? It has. You learn to accept as you go through the pain, and as you go through the pain, you find meaning of the pain, right? There's meaning in the pain, but people want to skirt it. People want to go around it. People don't want to deal with it. And since they don't want to deal with it and they don't want to work through it, they skirt around it. But that's how you find the meaning. You find the meaning by going through the pain. And as you go through the pain, you'll discover why you had to go through the pain. That brings you to a level of acceptance. There's forgiveness and acceptance. There's understanding and in acceptance. There is healing, relationships through acceptance. There's change of behavior through acceptance. There's change of beliefs through acceptance. That's how you know that that's how you know you're accepting things, right? When you have all of these facets, right, come into your life. And as you have all these different facets come into your life, that's how you know that you come into a level of acceptance. Questions, questions. I'm not talking about my credentials. Don't ask me about my credentials. You guys drive me crazy with the flipping credentials. Credentials on my moderators. That's funny, Amanda. I love you. How do you forgive? Okay, great question. It's a question about forgiveness. So forgiveness is a process, right? I think that you need to understand that forgiveness is a process. And as you learn to listen, forgiveness is never for the perpetrator, right? Forgiveness is always for the perpetrated. And so when you start to understand that dynamic around forgiveness releases you from the suffocation of anger. It releases you from from the dungeon of hurt. It releases you from the noose of sadness. So when you understand that forgiveness is more for you, not for the individual that hurt you, it releases you from those very things that are keeping you stuck. There's a great modality around just sitting down and writing a letter to the perpetrator, right? Just sitting down and expressing your emotions, expressing your feelings, expressing your hurts to the perpetrator, right? So, and you just write a letter to the perpetrator, and after you write a letter to the perpetrator, you work through the process of letting know how much you hurt, how much they hurt you, what they've done to you, your life because of this. And then you make a choice to forgive yourself, right, for holding on to that pain. Right? As you forgive yourself for holding on to that pain, you now are able to release them from that attachment, right? So now now what I have people do is when they write the letter, I have them rip it up and burn it. And what you do when you burn it, when you burn the letter, you kind of show yourself that you were releasing through the smoke of that hurt, of that pain, of that experience. Now, granted, forgiveness is not forgetting, right? We're not forgetting the experiences in our life. As a matter of fact, when you forgive somebody, you cemented those experiences in your life, right? So when you forgive someone, the other problem that I found with forgiveness is we want to forgive the experiences. We want to forgive the trauma. We want to forgive the actions, right, rather than the individual. So when we forgive the individual, we forgive the entire experiences associated to that individual. So now you can deal with the individual and not be living in the experiences. Because a lot of us, what we do is we tend to be stuck in our story. And as we're stuck in the story, we get stuck in the experiences, and then we start blaming the individual or individuals. So you need to allow yourself to deal with, right, and work through the individual associated to the experiences. When you do that properly, you have a level of forgiveness, right, and letting go of those experiences. And then I'd have you burn that letter and see the smoke lifting. And as you see the smoke lifting, have that be a sign for you to know that you've let it go, right? You let it go, and it's not suffocating you no more. It's not keeping you hostage no more. It's not overcoming you anymore. Hopefully that was helpful and made sense. Got very few of you guys today on these lives. I'm getting throttled anyway. My content's getting throttled anyway, so. Everybody wants to know how to heal, but then when I talk about healing, they don't like when I heal. They don't like when I talk about healing. It's unbelievable. How do I learn to trust my current partner when all the ones in the past have treated me so wrong? You heal those underlying issues. So what we tend to do in relationships is, first of all, we think relationships are going to fix us, right? And relationships are never going to fix you. All relationships do is that they expose you, right? They expose her. Now they're good for a little bit, right? When you first get into a relationship, it's new. It's right, you know, it's new. It's the honeymoon phase. Like, all the stuff is good to go. And then as the onion starts to unpeel and the trueness starts to come out, you start to expose yourself. Because what happens is you bring baggage into the new relationship. And as you bring baggage into the new relationship, you sit there and you take the baggage out, right? You start taking the stuff out. Right, you start looking at it, comforting it, right? And then as you start dealing with it or looking at it and working through it, your new relationships become your old relationships. So if you have a common thread in your relationships, that common thread is you, and you need to start working through those issues that you struggle with from a deeper level. Right, so as you work through those deeper level issues, that will then thereby cause you to start healing, and then you start to clear the lenses that you have. Right, you start clearing those lenses. You start clearing those lenses, cleaning out your closet with your existing baggage. It tends to not show themselves in new relationships. From a healing perspective, I'd encourage you to go to my website, beatanxiety.me. If you go to beatanxiety.me, all my resources are there. Yeah, man. Yeah, I need new glasses. Still alone with my emotions makes me lonely. How do I mitigate the emotional relationship? Sitting alone with my emotions makes me feel lonely. How do I mitigate the isolation? You sit with your emotions. You sit and validate your emotions. You allow yourself to sit with those emotions. If you go out to my website, you'll see, or go to my link in the bio, you'll see my courses there. I got three courses. I'm coming out with a new course this weekend. I don't know the name of it yet. I don't know the price point of it yet. But I'm coming out, I'm creating a new one this weekend. I'm gonna be putting my course out there to do my new course. as a friend, sorry, Price and Velvet, that's what I'm saying, Coach. I got two lives going on, so do depression. Yes. The question was, do depression and anxiety go hand in hand? One can definitely drive the other. Anxiety is about control. Depression is about anger. So the root of anxiety is control. Although there's two different forms of anxiety, there's general and there's complex, but typically about control. So the root of anxiety is control. The root of depression is anger. And so you can cause the other one by not having control, can make you angry. They fall hand in hand, right? You can have the two, but those are the distinctly difference between the two. There's control issues and there's anger issues. Advice on being supportive as a friend to someone who is. So if you have a friend that's struggling with anxiety, do not try to understand the anxiety. Don't. We that struggle with this typically don't understand it ourselves. So don't try to understand the anxiety. You're trying to understand something that's not understandable. You can't understand it. Why do I bust down a panic attack at 10 o'clock at night? I don't know why I do that. What you can do as a friend is you can come alongside them, help encourage them by allowing them to do and allowing them to like go to counseling, get help, direct them into getting help. And as you direct them into getting help, that's how you can support them. Support them through support. Don't support them with trying to understand something. And do not say, I understand what you're going through. Right? Do not use terminology like that, like I understand what you're going through, if you don't understand. Because most folks that don't struggle with anxiety don't understand it. Yeah, look to support not understanding. Signs of fear of intimacy. Well, it depends on your intimacy. If there is trauma associated with your intimacy, then probably it's based off of anxiety. If you've had bad relationships or you've had if you've had experiences in your life that were negative, let's say your parents were divorced and you went through that divorce with them, that is a negative experience on relationships. And so that gives you an indication, that gives you a false belief that here's the one thing about us that struggle with anxiety as well, is we use all terminology when it's some terminology, right? When we should actually be using some, we use all. So let me give you a concrete example of this. Just because some have hurt you doesn't mean all will hurt you. Just because some have hurt your trust and were dishonest doesn't mean that all are out to get you or all are out to hurt you. When you put all in the sum category, those are belief systems that you've created where now you don't trust anybody because some have hurt you, right? And the one thing about trust is earned, right? Trust is an emotion that's earned, and if they keep on being dishonest with you and they keep on hurting you through the trust, that's an indication that they are not trustworthy. If they're not trustworthy, we all work from a place of trust. We all have to trust situations, especially relationships. We have to trust individuals to be open with them. And so if you don't trust them and you're dating, you need to go, right? that's a bad situation. You just don't get over trust, especially if they're continuing to do the things that they do to distrust you, to distrust them, so to say. Up to the sky. I knew this would happen. Remind me again what you thought I'd be. Jesus.
step on the stage and I'm seeing fans, all I see is a crowd like a family. The more I find myself, the more I find myself being alone.
Yes, you want to heal those deeper-seated issues, human pug 666. You want to heal those deeper-seated emotions and those deeper-seated issues. And as you do that, hopefully that stuff will lift and you'll learn to trust. Just remember, you can't put all in the category of some. And when we do that, we hurt ourselves. We build walls, and walls isolate us. And walls, we think walls will help us, but walls isolate us, and they only hurt us. They don't help us. How do I make someone trust me? By being there for them. So trust takes a long time to establish. Deborah, I'll take that question in a second. It's a level of being there consistently, right? Consistently being there for someone, consistently being there, having your word be your bond, having what you say be truth, right? As far as you're going to be there, those types of things. Trust is earned, and it's a consistent thing. So you have to continue to do the things that people will trust you for.
Showed in my music in hallways, they looked at me funny, you'll never be anything. Remember those moments like maybe I had it all wrong. Put all my pain into so many songs.
Will PTSD always be there? What do you do if others think it's just an excuse? So if PTSD, if you struggle with PTSD, are you working through the PTSD? If you use your experiences as justification for your behaviors, that's when we get ourselves in a problem, right? That's when we get ourselves people questioning us what we're doing and how we're acting. So if you have a behavior of anger, right? If you behave in such a way that you're always angry, and then you blame your trauma on being angry, people will start saying that you justify your behaviors with your trauma. Which a lot of us do. A lot of us try to justify ourselves blaming our trauma rather than healing the trauma and overcoming that behavior. Does that make sense? So you have to work through the process of healing. And when you work through the process of healing, you start to clear your lenses, which these are dirty. You start to clear those lenses of trauma, and then you start to change your behavior. Questions. You guys got me maybe 5-10 more minutes. Thank you for answering my question about trust. Definitely, girl. Also, I mean, Smiley, Cyrus. I'm looking for. Yeah, I'm on Instagram. BeatAnxiety. You guys, you can follow me on my social channels. BeatAnxiety.me. It's the same. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Likey, Clapper, Facebook. It's all beatanxiety.me. My website's beatanxiety.me. What if you have a lot of improvements but don't see it? Then you're coping. You're not healing. That's what I just started with this, right? You're learning how to cope, but you're not healing. You gotta learn how to heal rather than cope. When you heal your heart, when you start to really work and heal your heart, that wall and that hurt around that heart starts to crumble. And when that wall and that hurt starts to crumble, your beliefs start to change. And as your beliefs start to change, your behavior will change. Guys, most of us are struggling with what we struggle with. What we have is we don't have thinking. We don't have thought problems. We have thinking. We have feeling problems, right? That are driven off of belief problems, right? That cause us to think certain ways that are driven from trauma, right? If you're coping, that's why you keep on having the same situations come up again, 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 and again. That's how you know you're coping, because you're not getting out. You're living with this stuff for years. It's the same thing. Your story is the same over and over and over and over again. That's how you know you're coping. If you're going to therapy, If you're going to see a therapist and you've seen that therapist more than 10 times and you constantly loop, right? You're constantly in a loop. You're constantly talking about your story, right? Story, you got the story loop going on, right? You're going to therapy, you're going to counseling. You think that you're healing, but all you do is stick in that story, right? You're going to count. Maybe you're not even in counseling or therapy. Maybe you're not even seeing a counselor or therapist, and you behave in such a way. And as you behave such a way, you constantly go to your story, right? Because I'm this, because I'm that. I'm so borderline. I'm so bipolar. I'm so anxious. I'm so depressed. I'm so this. I'm so that. Right? You keep on going back to your story, because you're learning how to cope, and you're stuck in this loop, right? Of I act a way. I act a certain way because I am a certain way. I act a certain way because I am a certain way. I act a certain way because I am a certain way. That's coping, right? And you're trying to fix yourself through coping, and you're not healing. That's just the bottom line, man. I'm sorry. It's the truth. People don't like that, but sorry. And people just stay stuck in that, and then they wonder why they've been going to therapy for flipping 30 years of their life, and then nothing, everything's the exact same. They have ruined relationships. They use alcohol. They use unhealthy coping mechanisms. They don't talk to their family members no more. They're going through a divorce. They go from one relationship to the next. They do all the things that we do. And then they blame their story. And I apologize for the truth. I really do. But I want you to heal. I want you guys to get yourselves out from under stuck in this hole of pain because you're learning how to cope. And a lot of times, oh man, I'm gonna bust out here, boy. A lot of times, the very individual that you go see allows you to be stuck because therapy is not about healing; it's about coping. Yeah. That's just the bottom flipping line, and I'm sorry. Therapy, at the heart of it, is around coping. It's not around healing. That's why you got to keep on going back in that loop. That's why you got to keep on talking about your story. Because it's about coping. All my therapists are going to hate me. Would it be related to the therapist that you are on a healing mission to keep that at the forefront? Guys, man, I'm sorry. Therapy is about coping. It really is, man. I don't want to get on it, but you can hear it? You hear it?
Yeah.
I guess I'm a disappointment. Isn't that a big ass speaker? Is it a big ass speaker? Okay, what are the questions? That's enough. Oh, you guys don't know NF? NF is a must. Absolute must. Whit Lowerly, NF, Ivan B. Man, yeah. All right, what are the questions? You guys got me 10 more minutes. Probably, how can we keep going in a way like this? We can't, so I guess I'm gonna have to leave. relationships where both people have dealt with past traumas. Both of you need to heal. Oh man, this is a classic Dixie V, man. Classic case of two people with baggage coming together and they have a big heap. Right? You have baggage, they have baggage, you come together, you have one big heap. You think that you're gonna fix each other, but then you just have one big heap of trauma and one big heap of issues, and you're both trying to deal with each other as you're dealing with your own issues, and it becomes one big mess. What? Your daughter what? Oh, Donna, your daughter passed the day. Oh man, I'm sorry about that. Wow. So Don, I'm sorry to hear that. And what I would encourage you to do is you have to grieve properly. First of all, you have to grieve. And you have to grieve properly. Now, what's grieving? Grieving is shock, right? You get the initial shock. You in denial. Anger, right? You sit in the anger, right? And we never get to the other side of grief, right? What we typically do is we stay in the shock, denial, grief. And we never grieve properly. We never get to that other side of it. And the other side of it is acceptance, understanding, and moving on. And this takes time, right? This takes the understanding, the acceptance, and the moving on. That takes time. You might want to look up Grief Share. Grief Share. Just look up Grief Share. They have groups in local areas where you can go to, and they can help you deal with grief. But you got to grieve properly, and as you grieve properly, you get to that other side, and as you get to that other side, you come to a level of acceptance, and then you come to move on. So yeah, just look up, just Google Grief Share, and they have groups all over the world if you deal with grief. So I highly encourage you to go look up Grief Share. But I'm really sorry to hear that. Yeah, it's definitely, Amanda, it's definitely, I mean, there's stuff that I can do for grief as well. How do you know if you're a toxic one? I did a live on that one. I did a video on if you're a toxic one. If you're the toxic one, you tend to justify your behaviors on your story, right? You start to justify your anger, your jealousy, you're controlling, you're manipulating, you are envy, you are all those things, and you become the toxic one, right? You gaslight, you tend to blame, shift, you tend to do all those things. And when you start to do those things in your life, that is, you're stuck in your story, you're justifying why you do what you do, and act the way you act. That's how you know you're the toxic one. Oh man, this is over here. Abuse from parents, is okay to be without them, or should I push a relationship? That's totally up to you. This song is really good for you. If you have parent issues, this song right here is a good song for you.
Yo, I don't know what it's like to be addicted to pills, but I do know what it's like to be a witness to kills. Mama told me she loved me. I'm thinking this isn't real. I think of you when I get a whiff of that cigarette.
Oh man, this song's so good. Here, just listen to the first verse. Just listen to the first verse of it.
How could you leave so unexpected? We waited.
Not the chorus, but the first verse, and I'll get back to your questions in a second. Yeah, I like Linkin Park. His voice is a little annoying to me, but I like him.
I needed you.
First verse.
Yo, I don't know what it's like to be addicted to pills, but I do know what it's like to be a witness to kills. Mama told me she loved me. I'm thinking this isn't real. I think of you when I get a whiff of that cigarette smell.
That
yeah.
Cigarette smell?
Welcome to the bottom of hell. They say pain is a prison. Let me out of my cell. You say you proud of me, but you don't know me that well. Sit in my room, tears running down my face, and I yell into my pillowcases. Say you coming to get us, then call a minute later just to tell us you're not. I'm humiliated. I'm in a room. It's apparent that I don't barely know. Some lady in the corner watching us while she's taking notes. I don't get it, Mom. Don't you want to watch your babies grow? I guess pills are more important. All you have to say is no. But you won't do it, will you? You gon' keep popping till them pills kill you. I know you're gone, but I can still feel you.
Whoa, man, that dude, man. Anyway, back to the questions. That cigarette smell. Oh, I hate that cigarette smell.
I got this picture in my room and it kills me. But I don't need a picture of my mom, I need the real thing. Now a relationship is something we won't ever have. But why do I feel like I lost something that I never had?
You should have NF.
Graduated. Told me you love me and congratulations. Instead you left us at the
big smiley Cyrus, I appreciate that.
What's it young to understand?
Since I'm getting, since my videos are not getting broadcasted no more, I'm getting throttled. I appreciate you at least following me and watching them. So I keep on getting throttled. What are your beliefs on people-pleasing behavior? People-pleasers have what I call self-worth anxiety. When I do my TikTok talk on this, I'm going to piss a lot of the... Anyway. People-pleasers are ones in which they try to find their self-worth in other people. And so they're busy trying to save everybody else, and as they're busy trying to save everybody else, they're losing themselves in the process. Because most of us are running on fumes, and since so many of us are running on fumes, we give, and as we give, we lose a piece of us each time. And so we try to save everybody, and as we try to save everybody, we lose ourselves in the process. That comes from a flawed view of ourself, and it comes from what I call self-worth anxiety. And self-worth anxiety is a complex anxiety because it really comes off of trauma. And so when you start to deal with and work through your self-worth, that will change you from being a people pleaser. I have a great self-worth anxiety. Guys, man, my course I did on self-worth, if you go out and look at the course on self-worth I did, even if you're not coaching with me, I think a complex anxiety really needs one-on-one work, but at least the self-worth anxiety will give you a kind of indication and a good starting point to kind of work through those deeper-seated self-worth issues. And then if you come work with me or work with someone on your self-worth, and start changing those belief systems that you have about yourself. It's a powerful. Just go check out my course on it. Yeah, my eyes are blue. They're super blue, huh? My eyes are really blue. I usually stream 10:30s on Saturday mornings is when I typically do my streams. What can you do when you have a panic attack? Oh, let me show you. Oh, yes. You guys are really going to freak out on this one. All right, listen, you might, if you have a screen recorder, you might want to record this, okay? I'm going to teach you what to do with a panic attack.
Yeah, pressure I'm feeling is building is cold.
All right, I'm going to tell you what to do when you have a, so you might want to start screen recording, so then you can follow along, and watch me. Now, you guys are going to think this is weird. You guys are going to think this is funky. You guys are going to be like, what the hell is he doing? But just trust me. Just try it, okay? So if you're dealing with a panic attack, you're dealing with anxiety, I want you to tap right here, okay? And I want you to say, even though I feel this panic, I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself. Even though I'm feeling these sensations, I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself. Even though I want to control this anxiety, I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself. Right? So you're tapping right here, and then you go, all this anxiety. I feel this anxiety. I want to control this anxiety. I hate this anxiety. I can't stand feeling like this. I hate it. I can't stand all this anxiety. I wish this anxiety would go away. But I can accept it. I accept this anxiety. I know I don't want to accept it, but I'm trying to accept it. This anxiety is trying to tell me something. And I can accept this anxiety. This anxiety I feel, I don't like it, but I can accept it. I really wish this anxiety would go away, but I just have to learn to accept it. And then you tap again here, and you're like, I'm choosing to release this anxiety. I'm choosing to release this anxiety. I know this anxiety is teaching me something, and I choose to release it. I choose to release all of this anxiety. I know this anxiety is teaching me something, and I choose to release it. I choose to release all of it. I can release this anxiety. And then you take a deep breath. That's how you get rid of anxiety. Wow, I did a live session with you guys. That's incredible. Hopefully you recorded that. I know it's funky. I know it's weird. I know it's like, what the hell is he doing? I know, like, you're like, what? Like, that's so stupid. But I'm telling you, man, it is flipping powerful stuff. So you start with tapping here, right? And you start with, even though I feel this anxiety, even though I feel this panic, even though I feel this hurt, even though I feel this sadness, even though I feel this grief, even though I feel whatever, right? I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself. You start with the long verse here, do about three times, and then you acknowledge it. All this grief, all this pain, all this control, all this panic, all this anxiety. You tap here. 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 You tap the collarbone. You tap, well, women have their bra strap, like right here. And then you tap the top of the head. So first round is acknowledgement. Second round is acceptance. Third round is releasing. Go through that process, and I'm telling you, when I do this on people, like I'll actually, when people are with me physically, I'll tap on them. And as I'm tapping on them, I'm doing some work. I'm doing some NLP work with them. Man, it's so powerful. It works so good. So hopefully you recorded that. All right, 5 minutes more. If you are looking, I don't got a party every night to chillax. Yes, I help people with depression. So I lived in depression and I ain't going back. We want to. So many nights. Oh. Like I should. Listen to that one, Deborah. So misunderstood. It's my favorite song by Enough. I wish I could have, but it's hard when I hate myself. Pray to God with my arms open. This is it then. Alright, a couple more minutes. What are the questions you have? And I wish I could have. You can find me at beatanxiety.me. Do you... How do you most recommend... Depression's an anger issue. You have to work through the anger. And so I would... Depression's a manifestation. There's deeper-seated issues with your depression. So I would work with you to release those deeper-seated issues and work through those deeper-seated issues. And as you work through those deeper-seated issues, the manifestations start to release. Anxiety is based off control, right? So if you have, so the difference between anxiety attack and a panic attack is anxiety attack is something that you walk into, right? You have, it's like you are building yourself up, right? It's building, like you need to go somewhere, you have a test you're taking, you have an interview going on, you're flying somewhere, you're driving somewhere, like it's in the future. And so you're building yourself up on the anxiety. Right, so it's future related. Panic attacks, boom, come out of nowhere. Right, so anxiety builds itself up to an attack. Panic comes out of nowhere. Panic, you're sitting fine, and boom, it just comes on you like a flipping freight train. That's the difference between the two. Panic is about fear. Anxiety is about control. And so the root of anxiety is control. The root of panic is fear. When you deal with anxiety on a chronic level, it turns into fear, and the fear manifests itself in panic. That's the difference between the two. All right, we're going to get off of this one. That sounds very logical. Free anxiety care group. Oh yeah, I do have a free anxiety care group. Yeah guys, if I can help you out in any way, you can go to my link in my bio. All my courses are out there. Go to my website, beatanxiety.me. I do these lives every... what is NLP? You mentioned NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. It's a modality on how the way you think. And so it works on the way you think by using language patterns, right? And as you learn language patterns, that starts to change the way you believe about yourself. Whenever I'm working with someone one-on-one, I'm typically using NLP techniques. They don't know it. They don't quite understand that I'm using NLP techniques on them, but it's really the language patterns based off of what we call submodalities around the different senses that we have. Yeah, so that's NLP. How do you discuss social anxiety? Okay, I'm gonna last thing I'm gonna talk about on the live, because I gotta go. Man, that hurts. Social anxiety. So let's talk about social anxiety. Social anxiety has nothing to do with the social situations. Beep. I'll say it again. Social anxiety has nothing to do with social situations whatsoever. It has everything to do with the way you see yourself in those social situations. So when you see yourself in those social situations, that's what causes you the anxiety. And so what we need to do is we need to work through the way you see yourself, i.e. social, that self-worth anxiety. As you work through that self-worth anxiety, you have a different view of yourself. And as you have a different view of yourself, that will then cause you to not be have anxiety in the social situation, right? So social anxiety has nothing to do with the social situation. Has everything to do with how you see yourself in that social situation. Hopefully that makes sense. Deborah, stop with those things, please. And what happens to a lot of times is you go to a typical therapist or counselor and they go, oh, let's work on your behaviors, cognitive behavior therapy, CBT. Let's work on the behaviors, right? Not knowing that your behavior, you change your behaviors not by the way you think. You change your behaviors by healing your heart. How do you heal your heart? You heal your heart by removing and working through the traumas and experiences and pains that is around the heart. And as you work through the traumas and the pains and the hurts that are around the heart, the wall starts to crumble and you start to look at yourself a different way. And as you start to look at yourself a different way, right, the social situations that you get yourself involved with doesn't affect you no more. You don't have anxiety around the social situations. Okay? All right, guys, I'm going to get off. Again, follow me. If you're looking for in-depth, more healing stuff, you can go to my website. You can go to my link. You can see if you can work with me one-on-one. That's where the real work is done. That's where the real healing is done, one-on-one work. Having said that, my courses and things like that can help you as well. If you have any questions for me or need anything from me, you can reach out to me directly. I've seen a couple of emails come through about my Monday night group that I'm having starting on the 22nd. That's free. It's a free anxiety care group. If you want to be part of that, email me at ryan@beatanxiety.me and I can get you information on that. It's going to be a 10-week course, really in-depth. I'm going to go into real in-depth stuff around how we heal these types of things. So look for that. Other than that, join me Saturday mornings, 10:30 typically. 10:30 between 10:30 and 11 is when I join. Look for me there. And thanks a lot for being with me today. Take care, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast today. Make sure to follow me on all the social media channels like Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at beatanxiety.me. And then also make sure to check out my website, beatanxiety.me, for some great content on how we can overcome and heal anxiety in our life. Thanks so much. Take care now. Till next time. Bye.